Listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. this morning. Cloudy overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 50. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Cloudy skies expected. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 53 degrees.
Welcome to this special live coverage of the spring general election here on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell and a team of political experts will be checking in with reporters from around the state. You'll get results from your local races, along with insight into what's happening with one of the most important in the country, an open seat on the state Supreme Court.
This special coverage is brought to you by Bug Tussle Wireless, keeping you connected to the world around you, and Chaz Design Build in Madison. Sustainable renovation since 1992. It all starts now, live on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, this we can say without any hesitation, Janet Protasiewicz, the yes questions on the statewide referendum, Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County Executive, all of the incumbents on the Mount Pleasant Village Board, just among the winners tonight. A lot of races still yet to be determined, and we bring in Jimmy Cuska, who is keeping an eye on some local school and community referendums. Jimmy.
Terry, good to talk a little bit about some of the referenda tonight. I know the statewide referenda, because everybody in the state had to vote on it, attracted a lot of attention, and those overwhelmingly passed. But a number of schools had some interesting decisions to make with federal money drying up. Schools have to make very tough decisions about operations. And so a great number of them went to operational referenda tonight. Now, historically, operational referenda are more successful than what they call issue debt referenda, because operational referenda are over a set number of years. And it's just to be able to provide for teachers and programming, whereas the issue debt is the more, I guess, more familiar type, where you're building a new school, adding a gym, things of that nature. So I was interested to see tonight how this would play out, given the expected high turnout with all the races. And it's been kind of a mixed bag of results tonight. A couple of surprising referenda failing in some communities that really felt like they needed these services. But there were a couple of districts that were talking about consolidation, closing the district within a couple of years if they couldn't get some of these operational referenda passed. Now, we talked about Adams Friendship in Athens in central Wisconsin, who had mentioned consolidation as part of potentially consolidating. But I'm happy to report tonight that those operational referenda have actually passed by pretty wide margins, especially Adams Friendship. So those referenda have actually passed in those districts. And so those school districts will be just fine. Their plans will be good. There are a number of operational referenda across the state. I got a big board next to me looking at some of them around the state that passed. Looking at some of the recurring ones, I thought lacrosse was one of the interesting ones, kind of a nice test, a test case. They had an issue debt referendum to consolidate their high schools into one. They have two high schools into one, close a number of middle and elementary schools to bring it in. And that was in November. And that referendum was a very expensive one, but it failed miserably. Over 70% of people rejecting that referendum. So I was a little surprised and a little interested to see what happened with a $60 million operational referendum tonight. And in lacrosse, that one actually did pass. So some other results just to get you on up to date on the school referenda. In Marshfield, they had the biggest price tag of any referenda in the state this spring at $99.5 million. And voters overwhelmingly rejected that referendum. So that one did come to pass. In Beloit, they had two referenda questions. One was the operational that we've talked about, and one was issued debt to work on facilities. And both of those failed by very narrow margins. There was another one in Manitowoc. They had a five-year non-recurring referendum for operations, and that one passed by 50 votes, 50 votes out of over 4,500 that were cast in that election. My last thought on this, Terry, before I turn it back over to you, we talked a little bit about municipal referenda funding, things like police, fire departments, EMS, maybe you want to have ATVs, town clerks, things like that. A little surprised, there were a couple of them in southeastern Wisconsin that did not pass, but most of the state passed those ones. I'm still tallying up some of those results that are a little harder to find. They're buried a bit, but I didn't see anything that really jumped out at me in the municipal ones. Those were widely expected to pass. And then there were some county referendums, advisory ones, non-binding, on the 1849 election abortion ban, the law in Wisconsin, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Vernon, and Milwaukee had this question on the ballots. And in Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Milwaukee, those advisory referenda questions overwhelmingly passed in those counties. So that's where we stand on some of the referenda questions posed to voters affecting things right in their community.
Sounds like voters are pulling back a little bit from past referendums. These are bucking the trends. We're seeing more of these referenda fail than succeed, which is going against recent trends.
Yeah, and we saw a couple of years ago in the off year where it was during COVID, we saw 40% of school referenda fail, right? Well, I've seen a number tonight that kind of jump out because they're districts that have talked about cutting programming or cutting certain activities or even athletics. And seeing some of those go down, and sometimes by wide margins, has been surprising. I'm still updating my spreadsheet. I'm about halfway through it, but I got to say, it's probably going to end up being just a little lower than the 70 to 80% that passed for schools anyway. And for the municipal ones, which have been 85 to 90% approved, it's probably going to end up right around there. But the school ones are interesting because I'm seeing some of the bigger ones fall, and some of the operational ones, and even towns like by Madison, like Barneville, for example, we're seeing those fail by narrow margins. It's really interesting to see the trend this election. And if I have another update tonight, if I don't get one here with us, I'll have it on Civic Media's website. With just kind of a rundown of all the school referenda tonight.
Very good. Jimmy Cuska, thank you very much. Chad Holmes is keeping an eye on judicial races all over Wisconsin. Chad.
Terry, again, you talked so much about the state Supreme Court race, and I think along the same lines, a very good night for those on the left with the major race in the Court of Appeals, District 1 Court of Appeals. Incumbent Judge Bill Brash goes down by a wide margin. He loses to his opponent, lawyer Sarah Genan. 41-year-old Genan defeats the 71-year-old Brash. Brash was an appointee of Governor Scott Walker back in 2015, but falls tonight 66% right now to 34%. And Brash had a lot of folks who have been working on Republican campaigns recently on his payroll for this election. And also, he's a guy that I think was trying to keep some of his thoughts below the radar, but his finance chair put out an email last month that kind of came back and I think bit him a little bit, and I think the voters noticed it. Also, Brash, back in 2015, when he applied for this open seat, sent Governor Walker a note that called that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, when it upheld Act 10, as, quote, one of the best United States or Wisconsin Supreme Court opinions in the last 30 years. It just feels like that voters, whether throughout the state of Wisconsin, and in this case, District 1 Court of Appeals, which is Milwaukee County. Again, there are four different districts. here in my part of the state, here in the north and north central part of the state, it is a very large district. But in Milwaukee, Milwaukee County has its own district, District 1. And as I mentioned earlier, again, Sarah Genan, a young judge, and you talk about perhaps again the bench, somebody they may want to keep an eye on for future Supreme Court races, as the Liberals may want to try to extend a 4-3 edge to maybe 5-2 in the next coming years. Also, again, a number of other races involved with circuit judge races. Real quickly, again, a new seat in Wood County. The district attorney of Wood County, Craig Lambert, loses to a Wisconsin Rapids attorney, Timothy Giebert. Also, Winnebago County, a very close race, but it looks as though incumbent judge Scott Wolt will win by about 1,000 votes or so. Waukesha County saw the incumbent judge Fred Strampy lose to former state representative Cody Horlocker. Washington County incumbent judge Ryan J. Hetzel is a winner. Vernon County DA Timothy J. Gaskell was able to win the open seat. Sheboygan County saw attorney George Limbeck run for a seat being vacated by Judge Daniel Borowski. Sheboygan County branch number 2, attorney James A. Hosh, former assistant DA, he is the winner of that open seat. And in Sawyer County, Monica Isham Chase wins a newly created judicial seat.
Thank you very much, Chad Holmes. Yes, thank you so much for the new information. Don Brown, I believe, is standing by. And before we get to Don, I think we'd be remiss if we did not mention that Corey Mason has been declared the winner of the Racine mayoral race. That's happening down in Don's neck of the woods, who's also keeping an eye on things in Milwaukee and Waukesha. Don.
Sure, Terry. So as I mentioned, there were two close races. District 1 still remains. Haven't had any new numbers on that. So former state rep David Bowen holds a 34-vote lead over Andrea Pat, DEI equal rights specialist with the city of Milwaukee. In District 9, as you in the last my last report around 9:25, I had said that there was a 67-vote difference between Laressa Taylor and Odell Ball, the two educators. About 15 minutes after the report, that number narrowed to 31, and that with like 80% coming in. But then just really 10, 15 minutes later, with 95% reporting, Taylor's lead is now 117 votes. So a little bit more margin for her. You know, we'll see again, 5% of the votes remain to be counted. Odell Ball, in addition to being a retired educator with a long history in Milwaukee, he's also the husband of County Sheriff Danita Ball. So some deep roots there in that area. But Laressa Taylor, in addition to being an educator, was also very active block, you know, watch coordinator, neighborhood leader, if you will. And her involvement in the community seems to carry a lot of weight for her in this this close election. I also want to note, too, that these three districts have been vacant for a long time. This district here, the incumbent was arrested on some charges of fraud, and so that seat's been vacant since November. District 1's been vacant since the last. Both 1 and 5 have been vacant since last August. In District 5, with 95% of the vote counted, Lamont Westmoreland, I would say, is the unofficial winner with 67% to 32.86% lead over Annette Jackson. And Lamont Westmoreland is a small business entrepreneur who he had built he built a successful a commercial color coding business after working as a small business lender, and his business serves residential and commercial clients. And so he had a real big platform of business development and job creation that obviously seems to have to resonate for that District 5 community, which is in the Northwest and represents includes Timmerman Airport and Mount Mary University. Jumping back over to Waukesha, Diane Voigt, let's see if I can find her. Yes. So Diane Voigt has moved into second place just barely. She actually took that position back from David Wadd. But the most important thing is that she leads incumbent Cory Monteho by just over 430 votes with, again, 95% of the vote counted. So three of the candidates get chosen, three of the four candidates. So wishing Diane well there. And we'll be watching that closely, you know, through the remainder of our coverage here. So, and yet, if time allows, Terry, just one final comment is we talked about the weather today and thankful for Brittany's report. And there was an old adage that when there was bad weather, the Republicans would the Democrats would stay home and not go out and vote. And it begs the question, and I'd love to hear some, maybe Maurice can weigh in on this, that might have been that element of the Democratic Party that has jumped to the Republican Party over the last, you know, 40, 50 years. Maybe that adage now applies to a lot of these maybe lunch pail Republicans, being the weather being what it is today.
Interesting question. Thank you for the insights, Don Brown. Some mayoral races have been called, and Terry Barr is standing by to share the latest information. Terry, are you there?
I sure am. Joining you right now, as I'm looking at some of those last numbers coming in, I do believe we've got all the final results for all the mayoral races that we've been tracking. And yes, in Green Bay, we now know that the incumbent, Eric Genrich, is going to be back for a second term as Green Bay mayor. Now, we've talked throughout the evening, Terry, about all of the outsider money spent, $1 billion in this Green Bay mayoral race, which is record-breaking when you consider this. Both of the gentlemen running for mayor of Green Bay also were starting to get some threats from other leaders throughout Green Bay and the county. And Eric Genrich, who is going to be the mayor again for a second term, he says his biggest thing is to work with city residents. And he really wants to bring everybody together to move the city forward. He feels Green Bay is basically stuck in a past that they can't do that anymore. Stevens Point Mayor, those numbers are starting to come in now. We've got about two of the 11 precincts they count there. And it looks like he's going to remain in office already 8 years as the mayor. This is Mike Wizza we're talking about. He had been a county board supervisor. And Melissa Johnson, it ends up Mike is beating her by more than double the vote in the Stevens Point mayor race. There was also a write-in that we heard about primary back in February, Craig Tesh. He only has been able to garner a little more than 100 write-in votes, but, you know, not bad for a write-in. I realized from when we were talking about him in the primary that he was really, really dedicated to wanting to run, even if it meant he didn't win a primary spot, that he was going to go as a write-in, which he did. Racine Mayor, you guys mentioned it. Corey Mason, also the incumbent, elected mayor in 2017. He will remain in that seat in Racine. Howard Village President, we called this one quite a while ago. Bert McIntyre, another incumbent, he is seeking or has now won his fourth term. Village of Howard, that is a fast-growing village right outside of the city of Green Bay. Then we've got Sacha Rhodes Conway in Madison. She is the incumbent and will get a second term as mayor in Madison. And we've also got Middleton mayor. And right now, this is looking to be Emily Job over Kathy Olson. Again, no incumbent in that race, but those two women had been on the city council, and so they ran against each other to be Middleton's next mayor. I think that covers your mayors. I'm hearing some loud thunder and lightning, so I know that we've got those thunderstorm warnings moving on in.
Thank you very much, Terry Barr.
Quick update for you, Terry and Terry. Severe thunderstorm warnings right now for different parts of our listening area for WRCE and Richland Center. Lone Rock and then Spring Green down to Dodgeville. Also, western parts of Dayton County over to Mazamani. A severe thunderstorm watch now in effect until 10:45. and also a new thunderstorm, severe thunderstorm watch for eastern Dane County, looking at the cities of Sun Prairie, Stoughton, Oregon, Cottage Grove, McFarland, over to Lake Mills, Watertown, and Jefferson County. Severe thunderstorm warning until 11 p.m. Both of these storms carry histories of golf balls to quarter-size hail, winds excess of 60 miles per hour, 50 to 60 miles per hour. So if you are in parts of northeastern Iowa County from Dodgeville, then up to southern Sauk County and Spring Green, or if you're in eastern Dane County, Stoughton, over to Sun Prairie, Lake Mills area, take cover now as you have a severe thunderstorm warning until 11 o'clock.
Very good. Thank you, Todd Albaugh. We will have some analysis and a look back at this very unusual and historic election night in Wisconsin right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Weather brought to you by...
What is...
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around. And I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Gloria Reyes from Madison Mayer. Say yes to Reyes on April 4th. Let's save Madison's finances. Elect a real progressive. Elect Gloria Reyes from Madison Mayer on April 4th. I'm proudly endorsed by the Wisconsin State Journal. I'm Gloria Reyes, and I approve this message. Say yes to Reyes on April 4th.
Paid for by friends of Gloria Reyes.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. this morning. Cloudy overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 50. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Cloudy skies expected. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
We are rounding the corner and heading home on Civic Media's election night coverage in what we knew would be an historic night, but maybe we didn't know to what extent. We do know that Janet Protasiewicz will be the next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, and we do know that that will tip the ideological balance of the court to the left. What we don't know yet is who is going to emerge in the special election for the 8th Senate District. Right now, a razor-thin margin. Pretty much both candidates are at 50%, with 94% of the votes counted. Again, that's in the 8th Senate District, just north of Milwaukee, between Republican Dan Knoedl and Democrat Jody Habish-Sinkin. And the question I have for you, Maurice Shepard and Todd Albaugh, what does Wisconsin look like after tonight is the question I have. Maurice, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'll start with, again, the state Supreme Court. Again, I think that for the state Supreme Court, it'll move to sort of reset and look at, again, some of the policies and issues we've talked about, reproductive rights, voting rights, and that sort. But also, I think, in terms of Wisconsin moving forward, just looking at in terms of politics, I think, and this was mentioned earlier, I think for Republicans, they may want to, and we still don't know what's going to happen in the 8th Senate District yet. So that's going to be important. But I think for Republicans, particularly when it comes to, again, the state Supreme Court, they have to reevaluate their strategy. Do they have a plan? Do they have, again, a bench for Democrats? I think they will be energized in this, once again, spring election. And for Democrats, I think they will hope that this will carry them over to the 2024 sort of election cycle, which, quite frankly, we're in already with the presidential election and that sort. Again, to enhance Democratic voter turnout during not just, once again, these off-year elections, but also increase them during the regular, once again, presidential election cycle.
Janet Protasiewicz certainly broke the mold by being so open about her positions on issues. Have we broken the mold now on Supreme Court races now? Do we see in the future candidates of all stripes being very upfront about how they feel about this issue or that matter?
Well, if I can jump in real quick, let me point out that this is just the beginning. If you look at, the state Supreme Court right now, there are going to be a bunch of openings coming up fairly
soon. Exactly, yeah. 2 years, I think, is the next one, right?
2025?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
2 years, right? Yeah, 2025 is our next Supreme Court election. Yeah.
Exactly, I'm 2025, sorry. And then Rebecca Bradley, 26, and then Annette Ziegler, I think, in 2027. So this is, I think, just, and we'll get through the 2024 election cycle, but immediately following that, we're going to have openings again. Again, if these individuals, if they decide to run again, or if they decide maybe to, again, leave the court, but this is going to reoccur. We're going to have more elections at a much quicker pace for the state Supreme Court.
And certainly that's on the horizon. I'm curious about, I mean, what we're used to in a judicial race is, well, I can't talk about matters that may become for the court, and I have to be impartial and rule based on the law. Is that script now just thrown out? And it's now, I'm Joe Blow, I'm running for the Supreme Court. I like this, I like that, I don't like this, I don't like that. Vote for me if you agree. Like a traditional politician for, legislative office.
Maurice, I'll ask you this way. I'd be interested in your take on this. For me, what we're seeing tonight is the effects of Trumpism. Donald Trump changed the political landscape, in my opinion, in 2016. He was unconventional. He said things you don't normally do. He went after candidates in the primary on the debate stage like nobody I'd ever seen. He went after Ted Cruz's wife. He went after Jeb Bush's masculinity, and he won. I mean, he said, the famous quote, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. I'd still get away with it. And I think what you're seeing tonight is Democrats have said, you know what? If that's the way to win, let's stop being pious and let's play on the field they've laid out. And I'm not comparing to saying Judge Janet is anywhere close to Donald Trump. I'm simply saying, and I think that the Democrats have said, we're going to take the gloves off and we'll reset it. And there's no sense of pussyfooting around and not saying what you really think. Judge Janet said the truth. I don't think she went over the line. This is my opinion. She simply said, I think the maps are rigged. And I believe in women's reproductive rights. She didn't pull any punches. And you know what? Those were issues that Wisconsin voters cared about, and she won.
I agree with you with that in terms of voters increasingly want more authenticity from, again, those that are running for office. I think in terms of Donald Trump, I think he's in a category, quite frankly, all by himself, which may be a good thing to some people. But I think in terms of Protasiewicz, she's borrowing from, I think, as Terry sort of is hinting at here, sort of the new playbook. I think in general, a lot of politics has changed with social media. Again, the success of someone like Trump, that if you're going to win, particularly in a statewide election, you've got to be much more authentic. If you're, once again, in a district race or in that sort of thing where you can meet everyone, literally sort of physically meet them, practice here what's called home style, that's one thing. But in these large, particularly sort of statewide races, and that's where the Democrats really have to win when it comes to state government, because of the way the maps are drawn for the state legislature. If they're going to have any power or authority in state government, it will have to be in many of these statewide races. I think Protasiewicz has laid out a good roadmap playbook in terms of how to do that. Get the money early, get lots of it, but also be engaging, as Todd pointed out, engage the voters.
I think it's interesting that both of you mentioned Donald Trump, because I think he was largely a non-factor tonight. There was some speculation that maybe his arraignment today might be a motivator for his supporters to vote for Dan Kelly, or that it might cause more Democrats to vote than normal. I would be surprised if today's events in New York City had any impact on Wisconsin.
I think that's true. I think number one, though, Dan Kelly was a bad candidate all the way around. He just was not a good candidate, number one, for Republicans and conservatives. And number two, Republicans after tonight, in my opinion, have some soul searching to do. They are on the wrong side of the abortion issue when it comes to Wisconsin voters. They're on the wrong side of gerrymandering. They have to regroup and decide who they are moving into 2024.
Very good. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much. Todd Albaugh, Maurice Shepard, Brian Kelly, Evan Preston, and so many people who played a huge part in this broadcast. We are grateful to you all, and we will have more up-to-date information tomorrow right here on your local Civic Media radio station. Good night, everyone.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. this morning. Cloudy overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 50. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Cloudy skies expected. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. It looked like a campaign-style speech, but President Trump told supporters at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida,
"The only crime that I have committed is to fearlessly defend our nation from those who seek to destroy it. The only crime that I have committed is to fearlessly defend our nation from those who seek to destroy it."
The former president speaking hours after pleading not guilty to 34 charges in Manhattan of falsifying business records.
The indictment walks through a couple of episodes, one involving a Trump Tower doorman who was paid to conceal a damaging story, a payment to former model Karen McDougal, also to conceal a damaging story about a relationship with former President Trump.
ABC News legal analyst Kate Shaw. The North Dakota Senate passing a series of bills that would restrict transgender people's rights in sports, health care, schools, workplaces, and daily life. This is ABC News. The only remaining Michigan State University student in the hospital following the February mass shooting has been discharged. Pentagon announcing another $2.6 billion in new security aid for Ukraine. Car sales are up this year, but so are loan rates. ABC News business correspondent Alexis Christophorus.
After a rough couple of years, some major automakers are starting to see a rebound in sales. Supply chains are bouncing back after the pandemic, which means there are more cars and trucks at dealerships. GM, Honda, Hyundai, and Nissan among those posting strong sales to start the year. The exception, though, was Toyota, which continues to deal with parts shortages.
Edmund says auto loan rates hit their highest level in 15 years in the first quarter, but have started to level off. Phil Mickelson returned to Augusta National for practice round ahead of the Masters. He missed the event last year for the first time since 1994 after some controversial comments about the Saudi-backed LIV Golf breakaway circuit. Andy Field, ABC News.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Is that a song about L.A.?
Los Angeles by Blink-182.
That is, I really liked their first album when I was in, like, middle school. Mm-hmm. Don't remember that song.
I'm a big Blinker.
Obviously. Well, we're in the last half hour of a otherwise really packed show.
It has been. And Ryan is so wonderful. Ugh. And we had a texter from the 920 ask if he could do some Rojo before he left.
Oh.
He already slipped out, but we are going to have him back to talk about mushroom hunting.
Yes. The combo, if you listen to Wednesday's show.
We had a lot of comics on this week.
We did. I like having comics on.
Well, and what Ryan, and he made such a good point about the whole history of comedy is speaking truth to power and being able yes. to say uncomfortable things. But to see him bring it into the realm of mental health and particularly men's mental health is so wonderful and vital.
And it is. And I think that, you know, some people want their comedy in just jokes. But right. I big shock, I like comedy that makes me also think, right?
Yep.
And, you know, some people who just do it and so much of the best comedy is coming from your life. And I think coming from places where people can relate, because you make them laugh, but you laugh because you recognize it.
Exactly. And you've done it, you felt it, you've observed it.
And it's, you know, and then we joke about, you know, everything he was just for his top 10 list on Wisconsin mental health. Like those things were like Wisconsin tropes. They're funny because they're based in truth, yeah. right? They're, yep. you know, even if it's not you, like when we were talking about with Joe Salmon's earlier this week on Tuesday about the bubbler. Like we all, even if we don't say bubbler, we claim bubbler.
Yes, as ours.
as ours. And so I'm really looking forward to that. But I also just think because I like comedy, and I think a lot of people like comedy, so getting to talk to people who are pursuing that as a career or a, I don't want to say it's a hobby, but like I think, you know, finding the way to do that as an art form, even if it's not your full-time gig, and the performance element of it. And I asked him when we were at commercial, and he's like, to a certain extent, it's just something he had to get out of, like the motivation to get it all written down, put it up, whether that was, he has an album from earlier, he's been doing comedy for 10 years. So he has an album that he put out earlier. Obviously now that they're going to record whatever he ends up calling this. That is like the compulsion of, I think most art is you got to get it out.
I need to say this or I'm going to blow.
And I think it's interesting, even in whatever it is that you want to call what I do, not just on the radio show, but in the videos, the best videos I've ever made are the ones that I just had to get it out versus, oh, I need to make a video today.
Without a doubt.
And not that the practice of doing the thing every day, even the days you don't want to do it, is not a good practice. Because I think whether you're a writer or a painter or an actor, like, doing it on the days you don't want to is how you hone your craft.
Yeah.
It may not be where the magic comes from, right. but like you have to keep doing it so that when inspiration hits, like you're ready. And so I already texted Mike. I was like, well, we're going to go to this next week. And so I think, cause he's one so funny.
Yes.
And I also think very thoughtful. And so I'm excited to see what he's come up with.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this has been a Missy was great. That was such an interesting conversation.
Right.
Obviously, we kicked off the day with Pipe. Yeah, this has been a packed Thursday.
Busy, busy, busy.
And tomorrow's going to be packed, too. We got, like I said, we have Scott Ross and Bill McCosh coming in to talk about last-minute hot takes before we head into the last couple days before the election. And what else do we have? We have the House and Garden Tour starting soon.
Mike Redzik is going to join us at the last segment of the show tomorrow afternoon, the Milwaukee Home and Garden Show going on through the weekend. They have great stuff.
Have you been on that before?
I have been to it many times.
I think I saw Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just put something out, and I was like, oh, maybe I should go. Now that I'm of the age.
You are.
To appreciate homes and gardens.
Yes, you are. And go learn what flowers are.
Because our house, I think I was a kid. I must have been 9 or 10 when we were living in Madison. And our house was on the tour 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And I remember we had to keep the house clean all summer.
For that one day or those 2 days.
Well, no, I think it was a couple days. Maybe I'm remembering this wrong. Debbie Bry, if you're listening, feel free to call in and correct me. But I remember it was a very big deal, but the stress level was a little high about keeping things pristine, which was not always how our house looked, except when company was
of course. But now this is not a tour of homes. This is a home and garden show. So there will be different contractors there. If you want new windows or you want to talk about an extension or you want to do a remodel and they have wonderful gardening displays and things you can do with patios and pergolas and fire pits.
Okay. So it's not the tour of people's beautiful homes.
No, it is not.
I misunderstood.
That's okay.
But regardless.
Tomorrow.
Debbie was...
Well, that speaks very highly of Debbie.
Oh.
It does.
Yes. I did not get that skill from her. Both the gardening and the interior decorating and the visual, this is how this is supposed to look, which is why at 36, I still only rely on her to decorate almost everything. So I have other skills.
And I feel the same way. I have one of my sisters is very, very visually gifted and has done window dressings and window displays and all kinds of things. And I am just like, just put something in the window. I don't care.
You're like, I know something should go there.
Yeah, so that's not my area. I'm more of an audio person. I think I know how it should sound.
Your home? How do you want your home?
I want it to be quiet.
Okay. Well, speaking of homes, have you heard about what's going on in Los Angeles?
Not until you sent this to me today.
And I can't wrap my head around how I feel about it. And it will be interesting to see what the long-term effect of it is. And so I'm going to try to summarize this as best as I can. But basically, the city of Los Angeles mm-hmm. voted on a measure back in November called Measure ULA. And it basically is a transfer tax on big-ticket property sales that the city says will generate a new revenue stream for affordable housing projects and homelessness prevention. So homelessness in so many different cities, certainly San Francisco, but definitely LA.
Right.
It's estimated like 42,000 people are homeless in wow. Los Angeles right now. So if you think about the city of Brookfield.
Homeless.
Is homeless in Los Angeles. And one of the ways that they voted on it. This was not just bureaucracy. They voted on this measure. Is basically, it's colloquially known as the mansion tax, and it will impose a 4% tax on property sales above $5 million
okay.
and a 5.5% tax on properties above $10 million, which in Los Angeles is a lot of the homes.
Well, in Los Angeles, a $1 million home, isn't that just a box?
Yeah. I mean, especially depending on what neighborhood you're in.
Right. I mean, it's not, that doesn't get you very much.
No. And so basically what this has caused is people like Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez they could lose millions if their home search fails. And there's been, because this starts Saturday.
Oh, my.
So this whole month has basically been a fire sale of mansions in Los Angeles of people trying to sell their homes because the tax goes on the seller.
Sure.
And
so it's going to come off the profit you make on your house.
Yes. And so people are they're slashing the cost, like the cost of the house. And it is literally it's a fire sale of like homes. And some of the ones that I've listed in here, there is like $28 million homes, $89 million homes. Like some of this is from New York Times that I am reading some of the different celebrities and some of the different properties that are literally tens of millions of dollars. And because they don't want it, they want to avoid this tax. They're trying to sell it now. And, you know, I think there's some people who are leaving Los Angeles altogether. But I feel like Los Angeles is such a pull. And there's so many big houses in Los Angeles. Have you been to L.A.?
I was in Santa Monica.
Okay.
I will never go back.
You didn't like it?
No.
What didn't you like about Santa Monica?
It was the phoniest place I have ever been. It was.
What year was it?
Oh, this is 30 years ago.
Oh, wow. So even but back then.
No, I can remember... I had bought a sweater at the Gap, you know, or something like that. And I was going with my friend into a store and there was a man pandering outside and I didn't give him any money, but he said, oh, that's a really nice sweater. And I thought only in Los Angeles are even panhandlers looking at what you're wearing. Because that's how superficial it is.
Or maybe he was just complimenting you thinking you'd give him some money.
That didn't work either.
But regardless, I have spent lots of time, a long time in L.A. And
did you ever get into any of those big mansions?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, not often, but yeah, you know, cool. Every once in a while. But, you know, like $5 million. So that's the cap of when you would evade this tax is basically like a 4,000 square foot home.
Which is a big house.
Which is a big house, but it's not...
A 4,000.
You know, $5 million in Wisconsin is a big house. There's a big house.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really big house.
That's a Lake Geneva house.
And except that one that's about to get torn down, which was a $17 million house.
Which is such a beautiful house. Anyway.
But even, you know, even I would say you think of, I remember still to this day, but certainly when I was a kid, driving up Lakeshore Drive into the Shorewood, but mm-hmm. also just the east side and all of the old school mansions.
Oh,
and
yes.
As a kid, just being like these, I still, some of those lakefront houses in Milwaukee/Shorewood that just hang off the cliff. And it's like, these are such big houses. I don't know if any of those are more than like at max $2 million. And those are like the biggest houses you can buy in Milwaukee. Right?
I don't know if those are
$5 million.
Yeah, I would. We'll have to look.
Granted, a lot of them need work, but
yes, they do. Extensive
but
work.
It's just to put into context that this tax is going to affect a lot of people. And as much as like, I don't really have a lot of sympathy for the people who are buying $90 million houses, having to pay an extra tax on them, because part of the problem is, and I think this is why people voted for it, is it's a microcosm of an issue that we're seeing everywhere, which is housing prices everywhere are squeezing people out. I mean, I was talking to a friend and journalist this morning who's talking about trying to write a piece on affordable housing in Eau Claire. And, you know, Eau Claire's housing market is not that far behind the Twin Cities, except the average salary in Eau Claire is way lower than the Twin Cities. And so it's like, what's going on here that this is not computing, that people can't afford to buy these houses? Who's buying these houses? And then that affects the rental properties and like the cost of rent. It's to ultimately when people are like, I just can't afford to live here. And ultimately in places like Los Angeles, people just end up on the street. And that's not, people don't want, and simultaneously, you don't want to necessarily live in a place that has a huge homelessness problem. So like this comes back to what we were talking about even at the beginning of the show is like, you have to care about the people around you.
We're all in this together in one form or another, you guys. We really are.
And so it'll be interesting to watch as this, how this works out to see if there's a huge amount of people who just leave. And if there's just all in the same way, there's like storefront vacancies, if all of a sudden there's just vacancies in these
empty mansions,
that no one buys, or if they actually make good on the money that they think will come in from this to actually build housing. But it's an interesting times in Los Angeles, and I'm not that sad for some of the celebrities that have to pay a little bit more of their taxes when they sell their McMansions.
Oh, poor Ben and Jen.
All right, we'll be back to finish up the show in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When will you save me, Los Angeles? When will you save me, Los Angeles? I'm never coming home. I'm never coming home. I'm never coming home.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats that make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Weather brought to you by Gloria Reyes from Madison Mayor. Say yes to Reyes on April 4th. Let's save Madison's finances. Elect a real progressive. Elect Gloria Reyes from Madison Mayor on April 4th. I'm proudly endorsed by the Wisconsin State Journal. I'm Gloria Reyes, and I approve this message. Say yes to Reyes on April 4th.
Paid for by friends of Gloria Reyes.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. this morning. Overcast overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 50. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. Highs around 67. Cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 28 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Moving along the sky. It's a car moving along the highway. You moving to California with me. I'm almost 2,000 miles from my home, sweet home. 2,000 miles from the arms that bore me. 2,000 miles from my sweet home, Milwaukee. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Network. If you missed any part of today's very good show,
we covered a lot of ground. We had some really, really wonderful guests.
Everyone was really good today.
Yeah, it was a great day.
You should go back and listen to the podcast, which you can find anywhere you get podcasts, or you can find it at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, which is also where you can always find the show notes that I typically have to write up later in the day, so they're not there immediately after the show.
But they will be there.
All of the back episodes are there with links to articles that we talked about or referenced and videos that we played with the audio, and also links to the guests that we talked about and the organizations they represent. Mm-hmm. And so go check it out, because I work hard on that to to make that information available.
And if you listen to the show and you like the show, please spread the word.
Yes.
We'd really appreciate it.
We would.
We are a growing company.
We are a growing company. We are a growing show, despite the fact that we are getting celebrities on the show.
Piper Perabo. Wowza.
And also big, so we had, it started with David Mandel, and this is all having to do with our election, right? Which is what I say, that the joke being, you know, I did not necessarily expect any Hollywood attention when I decided to focus on Wisconsin.
That wasn't your goal.
That was not the goal. And but then, here we are.
I know. And look, all of a sudden.
But we had Piper Perabo today. And then on Monday at 1 p.m., we were having Wisconsin native Bradley Whitford.
He's done a couple things, I understand.
He's done a couple things.
Some things.
And it's funny, even when I said that to some people the other day, in the same way with Piper, you know, I think some people who love Yellowstone know her from that, or the Covert Affairs, as you talked about. I will always, my first, her big break, as she said, was this movie Coyote. Did you see Coyote Ugly? Do you know what we're talking about?
It was a bar where they danced on the bar. The bartenders danced on the bar.
Yeah, right? It was like Maria Bello, Tyra Banks, Piper Perabo, who was Bridget Monahan, who was in
Mrs.
Sex
Big.
In the City.
She was Mrs.
Big. She was in it. And yeah, it was about this like rock, like ruckus bar in New York City, and her character, Piper's character, wanted to be like a musician, and she got she needed a job, and it was this like high energy, sexy bartender.
Raunchy.
Yeah. It wasn't raunchy, I don't think. But it certainly inspired me to wear lower cut jeans and crop tops.
Oh,
at 14.
Your mother must have been thrilled.
Loved it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways. I forgot where I was going with that.
Bradley Whitford.
Oh, yeah. Bradley Whitford is here on Monday. And so he is very active as far as politics and advocating for his home state when it comes to Democratic politics. But he is going to be here Monday to have some fun with us, which I am really excited about.
I am too.
He, you know, obviously West Wing is maybe what he's still most known for. But I certainly remember him from Billy Madison.
Oh, my gosh. That is going back.
Business ethics.
Wow.
But now he's on, at least, I haven't finished the most recent season, so I think he's still on Handmaid's Tale, unless something happened to Commander Joseph Lawrence.
I couldn't get past the first season of that.
It's too
prescient.
Yeah. It also, yeah. Well, that's a whole other can of worms that we're right. not going to open up. But the other thing that dropped this week that we haven't talked about yet is the new Marcus Performing Arts Center's lineup.
Wonderful.
For next year.
Oh,
so
cool.
For the 2023-2024 season. And, you know, as two gals who like a good musical.
We do.
Did anything catch your eye? Oh, okay. So there's Disney's Aladdin.
That would be really fun.
I saw it on Broadway. It was pretty fun.
I bet it was.
It was pretty fun.
Everything rests on the genie.
Mm-hmm. So that's coming up in October. So Disney's Aladdin will be in Milwaukee. And then I'm definitely going to see this one. Aaron Sorkin's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, it's supposed to be just excellent.
Yeah. And so it's his stage adaptation of, obviously, the classic book. When it premiered on Broadway, I think it was Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, I think
played
right.
Atticus Finch. So I don't know who's in the traveling tour or company tour for that, but that is coming. Funny Girl is coming. I've never seen Funny Girl.
You've never seen the movie?
I've never seen the movie. I've never seen the stage production.
You would love the movie.
Okay.
I think you would love the movie.
You've had a skeptical look as far as the show, though.
Well, because I have a friend who's been to New York several times and saw
the current, but she saw
not with Lea Michele, the one
with
before
Beanie.
Her with Beanie, and he said it was horrible.
Well, she didn't last very long.
No, and my friend George saw Barbara in the original one.
Oh, so his standards
on
are
Broadway.
Pretty high.
He's
I have heard Lea Michele is very good in it.
I bet. Yeah,
she's wildly talented.
She is,
but they won't be in the touring company.
I would be very surprised.
I would go see Funny Girl. And then in February of next year, Mamma Mia, which I have seen and is a very fun show.
I'm not an ABBA fan. I find their music highly annoying. I'm sorry. I just do.
You really don't tap your toes at all when any of those dancing queens.
Oh, stop. Oh, no.
all right. Well, then in March, Clue, which I did not know there was a stage version of.
That might be fun.
So it's a mystery comedy based on the popular board game. I've seen the movie Clue way back. Was that the 80s?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how similar the movie is to the stage production, But then I would go see this, the Tina Turner musical.
Yes.
And that's over a year away. But and then I would also see this, Moulin Rouge.
Really?
I loved the movie.
You did?
I did. I mean, I was in high, yeah, I loved the soundtrack. I thought it was so, I like Baz Luhrmann. The magical mysticism of his visuals and stuff, I like.
Very fantastical.
Yeah, and so I have not seen the musical, but I liked the movie, so I feel like I would, so maybe I just have to buy a season pass, because there's a lot of shows on there I would go see next year.
They would be very happy if
you would do
that. I'm
sure they would, but no, you're sorry. What on that list are you a yes for?
I would check out Clue and go through the list again.
Aladdin, To Kill a Mockingbird.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.